and that he put me in a family of missionary Baptists that were landmarkers. And I'm very thankful that that you're here. And there were some things I believed when I first came here that it was very hard to preach, because this was a church that was not, they were scriptural. They were fine people. And I love them to this day. But the things that I believed were strictly landmark. And the things that I believed were strictly based on the Bible. And I was a solid missionary Baptist. But there are a lot of things in the early ministry when I was here that I knew I would have a hard time with. And so these, won't you help me?
What are you trying to do?
I'm trying to turn it around this way.
That goes forward a little bit.
That way where I can look at the screen.
I'll fix that back.
Okay.
How's that?
Fine. And pastoring is really not what I expected to ever do. It was something that God called me to do, and I started doing it after going through all kinds of schools to learn how, and discovered that what I was originally taught were things that I have since come to realize. When I first came up here, it was difficult for me to talk about the continuing ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was difficult for me to teach a lot of things about Baptist principles that I came from a very small church, a very small place. And I discovered that what I was taught when I was young was right. And so since I came here, this is what I preached. This is how I preached it. This is from the last century. And they were the very things I believed when I came here. I've learned a lot from different people since I've been here that are landmarkers. But that's what I am. And I believe that it is extremely important to get people to understand that the church is built on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the head of it, He is the foundation of it. And God means for people to be saved. He said very clearly, it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I also believe that God means to establish your heart with grace. And I realized as I came here that what meats were. Meats are not some great intelligence that you yourself develop. It's something that God wants to establish in your heart with grace. And the word grace means that God gave us what He gave us with an extended arm. The Bible's very clear on that in the Old Testament, also in the New Testament. And that you're supposed to be in a heart that's, have a heart that's established with grace. That's what the people who belong to this church, when I came here, I tried very hard to make them understand it was all by grace. Not with meats. It's not how much you know. It's not how many schools you've been to. It's not how much prominence you have. Which have not profited them which have been occupied therein. The devil and the Lord have been at odds for a very long time about grace versus the Lord. God Himself, who we call, it's called in the first verse of the Bible, Jehovah. It's also called Yahweh. I didn't know that when I got saved. I didn't have to. Because God has taught me by grace how important it is to not think much of yourself, but to think a lot of God. And God took on the form of a man. I'm talking about Jehovah, Yahweh. I'm also talking about the man Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Many churches, multiple churches, teach that that means that Jesus Christ performed miracles during his particular time. And he hasn't changed. He still performs miracles like laying hands on people and doing different things that certainly look like they're very religious, but they're just that, very religious. They have no connection whatsoever with God because they believe that it is by works, the works of man. If I haven't learned anything else from the Bible, I've learned this. The heart needs to be established with grace, not with meats, not by great learning, not by tremendous scriptural knowledge that you yourself have developed and accumulated, but which have not profited them which have been occupied therein. This is grace versus the law. And the word, we're told in John 14, that very clearly, that God took on the form of a man. His name was Jehovah. That's God's name, or Yahweh. I'll go all the way back to the first part of the Bible. His name is also Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. It has nothing to do with people being able to work miracles after they have been saved, because Jesus did it, and they don't understand that it's not human knowledge that profits a people. It's not human knowledge that gives your heart any really substance. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who was the Word? In John, first chapter, he says very clearly that in the beginning was the Word. He says that he was in the beginning and makes it very clear that the Word is God. So who is God? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He is the head of this church. He is the foundation of this church. And he is everything to this church because he died for this church. And this is a landmark church, and our main goal here, after we receive him as Savior, is to be his servants, to find out what we need to know about him, to find out about ourselves, and to understand that Jesus fulfilled the law. One of the greatest shocks that people find after they supposedly have been saved is that you can lose your salvation. That is a lie. You cannot. When it says the Word, it's talking about Jehovah. It's talking about Yahweh. He took on the form of a man. It's very clear in Scripture. And dwelt among us. He came and dwelt in the 7th chapter of Isaiah. It makes it very clear. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Grace has been greatly underrated in many churches because they don't understand that God sticks out his hand, which is full of grace, and offers it to you as soon as you pass the age of accountability. That's very clearly illustrated in the Old Testament. He sticks out his hand and you either receive it or you don't. Now, the law was given by Moses, and there are many people who are calling themselves Baptist and many other names who are still practicing to be saved. The law was given by Moses, But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It's the law versus grace. I was saved by grace through faith, and not myself. It was the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So when I came here, all the schooling, all the various things I had had down through the years, I evaluated and compared them with what I had learned in a church that called itself a Landmark Missionary Baptist Church. And I was following the pattern that God gave before the 4th century. Before the 4th century, there were a lot of disputes about what I'm talking about. And the Catholic Church finally won. And they made an addition that Mary herself actually was born, I would have to say, born holy, Immaculate Conception. But it was God himself that took on the form of a man. That man's name, if you want to name him, is Elohim. It's Jehoshah. It is actually Yahweh, Jehovah. He says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. But Jesus told us that the way of grace was very hard, almost impossible. It is impossible. And only one man ever kept it. His name was Jesus Christ. And he was immersed, covered, full of God, God himself, in sinless flesh. I've learned this over a long time in the ministry. I was taught it as a child in a Landmark church. I kept it in my heart, but quite frankly, when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, I came to him because I was scared to death of going to hell. That's the way God teaches you. That's the way he can teach you because, quite frankly, until you're saved, you have a very hard time understanding the Word of God. And it's just that way. And I can't teach it any other way because there isn't any other way. In John 6:27 and verses 33 through 35, labor not for the meat which perisheth. The kind of meat that perisheth is the kind of meat that people are building up that believe after they make a profession of faith, which really isn't genuine. They don't understand that that meat perishes. It's not going to do them one bit of good until they begin to learn that they have to be saved in order to produce good meat. But for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. That's the first thing I was certain of and was taught after I was saved. But I came to the Lord because I knew that God was God, and I just didn't believe there was any other God except the one I knew. For that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. So the first thing I learned after I was saved was, there's no way I can lose this everlasting life. Because which the Son of Man shall give unto you. The Son of Man is Jesus Christ. But who is this Son of Man? He's God himself, Elohim, or Yahweh, who took on the form of a man. That name, Jesus, is the word that is used to describe him. He is the living Son of Almighty God. He became that way by God making him himself, the one who offered himself for our sins. He resurrected himself. Jesus said he had power to resurrect himself. He said it. And the only one who had the power of resurrection is the second Adam. The first Adam was made a living soul. And he sinned. You say, well, wait a minute. When did he repent? I'll tell you when you repented. You kept trying to please God. You kept trying. You wanted to be saved. It wasn't as hard as you thought. That's the way God deals with you because God understands you. That's the way God understood me, and that's why I didn't understand it. I just knew I was going to hell if I didn't go to see him. You say, well, would God have sent you? I think so. Because he held out his arm to me. He offered it to me by grace. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life that cometh to me, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I'm never going to hunger. I'm never going to thirst. I believed on him when I put my faith in him to save me. You say, well, how do you know that? That's the first time I ever really understood anything. I was told I couldn't lose my salvation if I would come to him repenting. But that's all I understood. Well, I sure wanted to go to heaven, and I tried for 4 or 5 years to save myself and thought I was doing what that says. I wasn't. You say, well, couldn't God teach you some other way? No. You say, how do you know that? This is the way God taught me. This is the way God teaches everybody. Most people, after they get saved, they understand it. They believe it. But they don't want to serve. They don't want to serve God. The only way you'll ever get to know God like Abraham did, the only way you'll ever become the friend of God like Abraham did, the only way that you'll ever enter the holy city of Almighty God is by actually coming to God and staying with him long enough to where God considers you like Abraham, not in the sense that Abraham had something special. Abraham was one who came to God, tried to please God, failed all the time, but he kept on trying till he died. That's what I'm trying to do. That's why I have what the Bible says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You say, you don't really mean that. I do. I mean it with all my heart. You say, well, you're some kind of Superman. No, I've come to understand that God is the only Superman there is. Hebrews 13:10. We have an altar, speaking of the Hebrews, not the Hebrews themselves, but of Jews. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. Serving the tent in the wilderness, when Jesus came, everything in the tabernacle pointed to him. Everything. I mean everything. The showbread, everything pointed to Jesus. It was God sticking out his hand, and he was sticking it out to a people who believed that. And so God offered them something that they could understand. God offered you grace. He made a grace to you, and it bothered you. You didn't want to go to hell. It bothered you. You say, well, he should have done it some other way. No, he did it just the right way. You say, how do you know that? I've gotten to know him. Everything God did was right. Everything. He didn't make any mistakes. And they had an altar when Jesus came, and they had one before that, where they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, he came in twice on the Day of Atonement, are burned without the camp. What they show you in Israel when you go over there is the Catholic church they have inside or outside the courtyard. They claim that that's where the actual tabernacle set. They claim a lot of things, but it isn't. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. You go over there and they'll show you all kinds of things inside the walls of Jerusalem. But Jesus was crucified outside the walls of wisdom of Israel. And he says, is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin twice on the Day of Atonement, same day, are burned without the camp. They were burned outside the camp. Our sacrifice was burned out, was burned where the actual participation of Christ offered his own blood. He was filled with the fullness of God, and he offered himself up. He was resurrected by himself. He was resurrected by God himself. They could not partake of the meat of the red heifer because she was burned outside of the camp during tabernacle times and on the Mount of Olives, outside the gate during temple times. If you go up on the temple mount right now, you get yourself fixed in the center of it and look over toward the Mount of Olives, you will see that the holy gate, the gate on the east, is not lined up with the Mount of Olives. This is because the red heifer was burned outside the camp on the Mount of Olives, and it does not line up with the temple. There are so many flaws in what the Catholic Church has taught as doctrine that are completely wrong. And I know that to be a fact, because if I didn't know that to be a fact, you think I'd be sitting down here teaching you this? You think I'm not aware of what would happen to me if I was teaching you a lie? You say, well, where'd you learn that? I learned that from the Bible. So I teach up to the limits of where I am certain of things. And the other thing, sometimes if you ask me, I'll say, well, I'm not quite certain, but here's the limits of time that I'd put on it. The truth of the matter is, God made plenty of efforts to stick out his hand. While you were going through being convicted, how was God leading you? You say, he can't lead a lost man. Oh, yes, he can. But he can lead him only one way. He can lead him to himself, to Jesus Christ, who took on the form of God and is our Lord and our Savior. Okay, let's take a look at the next one, Terry. Going down. The same Christ Jesus, could you pull it over a little toward you the other way? Because that on the right-hand side is not focusing. Jesus Christ in tabernacle and temple activities. The same Jesus Christ has been operating in a pattern of drawing men and women closer to God, closer to himself, throughout all ages. Is still doing so today and will do so forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. God himself, Yahweh, Jehovah. You can look in the 9th chapter of Isaiah and you can see many different names he has there. You say, well, I thought Mary conceived him. God conceived himself in Mary's womb. The Catholics began to teach, just as soon as they started trying to become a church, that she was born of immaculate conception. Mary was a sinner. You say, well, what do you think of Mary? I love Mary. She's blessed among all women. I love Mary. Mary didn't believe, and Mary doesn't believe today in heaven, that she actually formed Christ in her womb. He was formed there by an act of Almighty God. In the Old Testament, he extended out his hand to them. They would not receive it. That's why we have to look and study if we want relief. That's why I can sit here and tell you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, I can recite that whole thing. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then I say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Do you know I didn't find rest unto my souls until I started just getting out of the way and letting the Lord pastor this church? You say, well, how do you do that? You don't think highly of yourself. You begin to understand that he's everything and you're nothing. You say, well, you can tell us that and we won't believe it. Oh, how well I know that. Truth is, it takes a long time to learn to become the friend of Abraham. You say, well, now you've done something great. No, Jesus did something great. When he came back, he called them out. You know what repentance is? They came out. They didn't have to come out. You didn't have to come out. He kept bothering you about it, didn't he? He kept bothering you. Some of you sitting here that have never come to him, he's still bothering you. Truth of the matter is, he wants you to come out, admit you are totally depraved, that you have no hope whatsoever except in him. You say, where'd you learn that? I learned that from God. I learned it out of his word. I tried to do everything. Finally, I realized, just go to church, learn, preach, learn all you can. And as God opened up doors, I went through them. And he opened them because I sure didn't want to go through them. I wanted to do what I was doing. I was perfectly happy in it. But then all of a sudden, I realized something's wrong here. I've done what God wanted. I've been saved. I know I'm saved. I know I can't lose my salvation. Then I begin to realize it's Jesus that is God. He really is Jehovah. He really is Yahweh. He really is all those names in the 9th chapter of Isaiah. He says, and they truly, Hebrews 7, 23 through 27, and Hebrews 8, 3, 4, then 4 through 6, then 1 and 2. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. They all died. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Before the foundation of the world, he was God. Before the foundation of the world, he was one God. And he decided. You say, well, how do you know he decided? Because that's what happened. And he chose to materialize himself in a visible form where all the glory he had was inside himself. And he conceived himself in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. I've been saved to the uttermost. You say, well, did you understand that before you were saved? No. They kept telling me I couldn't lose my salvation. But how could I believe it unless I was sure God said it? Well, here he says it. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that cometh unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, I like this next one. Go ahead. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices forced for his own sins. Well, the high priest that went up to make the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement went into the temple twice on that one day. He went in, he had to offer up sacrifices for the whole nation of Israel, and then for his own sins, then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. I began to understand that God's Son was Jesus Christ. He was the Son of Yahweh. He was the Son of Jehovah. He is all those things that's mentioned in the 9th chapter of Isaiah. You say, well, if you're wrong, you're in trouble. I know that, and I'm not wrong. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. I wasn't saved by a shadowy thing, the shadow of heavenly things. I was spiritually born again by the Lord Jesus Christ when I came to him, scared to death, and he saved me. When I realized I was helpless. It takes a man a long time to realize that sometimes. Then even after you got saved, you got all kinds of problems. Because even though you come to understand that you are saved and you cannot lose your salvation, the Lord's going to bug you to death because he's trying to raise you like a child who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for saith he, that thou makest all things according to the pattern that showed to you in the mount. He said, you do this right. He said, this is important. He said, I want you to do this and do it the way I tell you. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, which was the tent in the wilderness, in which the Spirit of God dwelled in the Holy of Holies, and he led them at night by a light, and they followed the light. And during the day, he led them by himself, by the glory of God, leading them, not in his fullness, but the power of God. When he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, said he, that thou makest all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now, this is so important. This is so important. I can tell you about it all day long, but until you actually make the attempt to find out whether or not it's the truth, you'll have a hard time with it. You don't pastor a church as long as I have here and not have troubles. You don't pastor a church like I have here and not wonder about a lot of things. And you wonder sometimes, why don't they believe? Why don't they believe? Why don't they believe? I finally found the answer, but you're going to have to find it for yourself. But now hath he attained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. He said, here it comes. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. You were born under the blood of Christ. All infants are. God knew which ones would receive him, which ones would reject him. He didn't deal with them on that basis. This may be hard to believe, but I'll tell you how humble God is. He's never made a mistake. He never will. Never. But God is so humble that God humbles himself to the position of, maybe I could. He knows that's not true. He knows everything. But the truth is, you didn't get here by accident. God got you here. Every one of you, God got you here. That's why I say said salvation was by grace. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He brought you along that trip. You're going to have troubles, whatever stage you're in. But you're saved if you know Christ. If you came to him repenting of your sins, you're as saved as you're ever going to be. But there's an awful lot more to heaven. He's going to be there. Does it matter to you where your children are in heaven? Does it matter to you where your wife's going to be in heaven? Does it matter to you where you're going to live in heaven? Do you really care? I was saved a long, long time ago when I was 12 years old. And I learned that I could never lose my salvation. Oh, what a joy. But I wondered why I still was wanting to do something, and I felt guilty. You say, well, you shouldn't have felt guilty. I did feel guilty. Until finally I just decided, Lord, I came to you in surrender. I didn't know what else to do, and I know you've saved me. I know I'm going to heaven. What do you want? Wasn't long until I realized he wanted me to be sure by baptism. He wanted me to be sure it was scriptural. After I did that, I discovered he wants me to serve him. I did everything I knew how to serve him while I was in service and every other time. I witnessed. I did this. I did that. Quack, 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 quack. I did this. I did that. It was God that led me. Did I do a good job? No. You say, well, what peace did you have? I knew even if I didn't do a good job, he wasn't going to send me to hell. You see, that's taking advantage of God. That's how humble he is. That's how great he is. That's how merciful he is. I've gotten to know him. It breaks my heart that people don't continue in the faith. You think it doesn't break my heart when people start off in this church and they end up going somewhere else? You think it doesn't hurt? You say, well, why do you feel that way? Because God lives in me. It bothers God, and it bothers me. It doesn't matter whether it bothers me or not. But think of what you do to God when you start off, you get saved, you know you're supposed to be in a church that teaches the truth, and being in a church that teaches the truth, it doesn't mean much to you. You're critical all the time, you're not happy, things don't go right, you blame your problems on other people, you don't look at things that right. You say, well, I look at things right. No, you don't. The Lord has taken me all these years to figure it. I don't figure you're much smarter than I am. You're probably smarter than I am in many cases, but I'll tell you what. I got nobody that's going to take me to heaven except Jesus. I got nobody that's going to take me to heaven except Jesus. I got nobody that has the ability to take me to heaven except Jesus. I know who Jesus is. And I used to complain about people in church. I'd talk about the pastor and everybody. Oh, don't do that. You say, well, I'm right. I don't care whether you're right or not. It hurt me. I didn't understand why it was hurting me. I understand now. You say, well, when should I be upset if something untrue is taught? If you listen to this and you say, well, none of that's true. Well, okay. I still love you. But don't have a critical spirit in church. I don't mean don't criticize what the pastor preaches. I mean talk to him about it. Don't just get in a huff and go somewhere. I tell you, you're going to discover the more you try to please God, the more you find with yourself that's wrong. And when you begin to discover that, then you begin to draw close to the Lord. You say, Lord, I'm not going to sit down and pray for you and say, I hope you can be like me. Forget that. I hope that you can let Jesus change the way you think in life by his Spirit, because that's what this is all about. And the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I have, starting very late, I have managed to finish by 5 after. You need to thank the Lord for that. And we'll have, if you want to be saved, I got some good news for you. I cannot save you. You say, well, give me some more good news. This church cannot save you. Churches fail. The Lord never fails. I fail daily, and he forgives me. You just got to trust Jesus. And you have to let Jesus know, I want to be in a church that teaches the truth. Jesus said, straight is the path, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. I hope you understand what I'm going to say next. Jesus is the only man who ever walked straight enough, who ever walked the narrow path without any error. Jesus is God. He's the head of this church. He's the foundation of it. And he wants you to get saved if you're not. Then he wants you to serve him in a local church. He wants you to not be a contentious spirit, being willing to criticize and talk to the man about it that you don't like, and let him change your heart and your life the way he wants to. That's possible. It's possible. You'll never be sinless until he comes and takes you home. Kenneth, you want to dismiss us? Oh, wait a minute. Go ahead.
Offer